Giacomo Leopardi's poem The Infinite, ending this week's Words and Music to Infinity and Beyond. David Annan and Saskia Reeves were the readers, and the programme was produced by Elizabeth Arno. Next week, Words and Music on the theme of exile. That's at 20 past 10 on Sunday night here on BBC Radio 3. Well, it's now 20 to 12 and time for this week's Jazz Lineup with Julian Joseph.
Hello, welcome to Jazz Lineup. On today's show, highlights from a concert set by the multicultural piano duo of Makoto Kuriya from Japan and Peter Sharik from Hungary. Also on the show, saxophonist Tony Woods and pianist Pete Churchill join me to speak about their latest project with percussionist Rob Millett, and they're known collectively as the Avalon Trio. Put British piano wunderkind Gwilym Simcock together with veterans Steve Swallow and Adam Nussbaum on electric bass and drums, then add the flowing, linear, confident guitar of yet another Englishman in Mike Walker, and you have The Impossible Gentleman. The album is out now on the Basho label. The track is Laugh Lines, and it sounds like this. Thank you. The Impossible Gentleman and Laugh Lines. And the gentlemen in question are Gwilym Simcock on piano, Steve Swallow electric bass, Adam Nussbaum drums, and on guitar the composer of that track, Mike Walker. The album puts together a strong band showing each musician at their very best. It's fresh, it's energetic, and it's simply titled The Impossible Gentleman, and it's out now on the Basho label. And the band are currently in the midst of a 12-date UK tour. They perform at London's Pizza Express Jazz Club in Dean Street on the 13th and 14th of June, and on the 15th they're at Bristol's Colston Hall. They're also at the Stables in Wavendon on the 16th, and then at the Taliesin Arts Centre in Swansea on the 17th. So, from a new transatlantic Uber band to the classic Return to Forever. Forever is an album featuring the super trio from Chick Corea's star-studded fusion alma mater. Stanley Clarke, Lenny White and Corea deal with the classics from the Return to Forever songbook with a few valuable extras, and also welcome a few special guests on the album. Here they are in total Latin fusion mode. This is Captain Marvel. Thank you. Captain Marvel, with Chick Corea on electric piano, Stanley Clarke on bass, and Lenny White on the drums. That is from their recent Forever album and their tribute to the comic book icon. Forever is out now on the Concord label, and it reunites the trio with the guitar of Bill Connors, the violin of Jean-Luc Ponty, and the voice of Chaka Khan, who all guest to great form on the album. Well, back to British shores and the latest release from singer and pianist Leanne Carroll, and a well-put-together set and setting for the gifted songstress. Recorded over the course of 9 months in London, Hastings, Prague and Memphis, the album features appearances from saxophonist Julian Siegel and American smooth jazz star Kirk Whalum, and on this track, the dignified sound of trumpet heavyweight Kenny Wheeler.
Thank you. The stars.
Leanne Carroll and her well-paced version of a favourite Bill Evans composition, Turn Out the Stars, from her new CD, and the unmistakable trumpet of Kenny Wheeler. Leanne is performing on Monday the 27th of June at the Hideaway in Streatham, South London, which coincides nicely with the release of her album. On this new recording, Leanne is in fine voice and the music is impeccable. The album is called Up and Down and it's out on the Quiet Money label. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph, on FM, online and on DAB Digital Radio. Coming up later on the show, a strong duet piano set from the Pizza Express Piano Festival featuring an international pairing from Japan and Hungary, and that's Makoto Kuria and Peter Sharik. But now, to saxophonist Tony Woods and pianist Pete Churchill of the Avalon Trio, who are here to talk us through their brand new album, For Lana. The recording celebrates the rich tapestry of lyricism that inspired the work of early 20th century English composers Frederick Delius, Gerald Finzi, and Ralph Vaughan Williams. This is the Vaughan Williams piece, Lyndon Lee. Thank you. The Avalon Trio from their new CD For Lana, and the gentle lyricism of Lyndon Lee, written by Ray Vaughan Williams. And I'm pleased to welcome Tony Woods and Pete Churchill to the studio.
Thanks very much. Good to be here.
It may seem like quite an obvious question, but what attracted you to putting together a trio based around this kind of music?
I suppose, as you say, the beautiful melodies is one of the first things that kind of grabs you. When you listen to those composers like Finzi, Delius, Vaughan Williams, they had just a great sense of melody. And I guess we all grew up with that sort of music in our childhoods. And so it resonates with us.
You find that the sense of line and harmonic development of people like Delius, incredible resonances of Bill Evans and people like that, and it seems an obvious place to start as an improviser. I think somebody told me once that you had to, as a jazz musician, you have to own all your influences.
Yeah.
And therefore it seems to make perfect sense to explore this kind of music if it's been part of your upbringing.
Well, certainly in the piano there, Pete, it sounds like you've got a lot to get your teeth into.
I think there's no shortage of harmony. The trick is to make sure that you conquer it. You don't let it rule you. Mm. And obviously they had that lovely interplay between sometimes quite simple and folk-like melodies, and sometimes they were folk songs, but sometimes they were influenced by folk music. But then the kind of tough harmonic underpinning, which for me resonates when I listen to people like Kenny Wheeler, you know, where the melodies are so lyrical and the harmony's really quite gritty. Mm. And so there's lots to get your teeth into, yes.
I mean, it's also, you know, trying to sort of stay out of the way, because there is a lot to get into, but it's that clarity of the parts playing across each other.
If you want that interplay and you're improvising, especially in a trio this intimate, then you have to really... you're not walking on eggshells, because that wouldn't be the right approach, but you're very sensitive to everybody's contribution, wouldn't you say?
Well, Tony, let's just talk about that, the trio and the combination of elements, because you've got percussion played by Rob Millett, the one person missing. You've got Pete on piano, and you've got yourself on the woodwind, basically alto, soprano and wood flute.
That's right, yeah.
That combination, what made you choose that?
We started off sort of working together, Pete and I, as a duo, didn't we? Mm-hmm. And we're not working, but just sort of studying the music and seeing what was possible. Mm-hmm. And at some stage, we wanted to kind of keep the sort of freedom of that, and thought with percussion, it would give another level of energy and sort of dynamism to the group. It sort of felt quite a natural development when we added percussion.
I think also Rob's playing really shapes the pieces. I mean, he's textural, he's groovy, you know, he's got that thing, that sense of form, where he can really play the form, and yet you don't feel you're working within strict parameters, but it's a very important job, and he's definitely the other member of the trio.
Well, he's so into it, you can hear it. You can hear that. It comes off the music so clearly. Pete, just before we go to the next piece, just tell us a little bit about Lyndon Lee, that composition by Ray Vaughan Williams.
What I gather about Lyndon Lee was that it was one of his most financially successful pieces. He earned a lot of money from it, and I gather Vaughan Williams was a very generous man. He used to help out people, musicians who were down on their luck, and they'd receive a check in the post, and it would be and you know, they were told to thank Lyndon Lee for their it was a setting originally of a poem by, I think it was William Barnes, a Dorset poet, and it's a staple repertoire of choral societies all over the country, and has been ever since it was written. It just has this such a fantastically English sound, and I like the construction of the melody. There's a lovely little run-on melodic phrase at the end, which is unexpected. And there's those little things where it could be just something quite simple and maybe not stand out in a repertoire, and then you get some something like that happening, you know a great composer's hand has been in there. And it is probably the most English of all songs.
I mean, often the great gems in music are actually in life are the simple things. Mm. Those are the things that actually stand out, actually without standing out.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the next piece. Now, Tony, it's by a composer called Gerald Finzi. Mm. Tell us a little bit about him.
Finzi, he kind of turned his back on the sort of London scene and kind of moved to Newbury and set up a festival there and sort of worked with amateur choirs and sort of worked with sort of community music and enjoyed that kind of music making. In a way, that feels very, very jazz in a way, in the way someone sort of does things with the community. The various pieces we've come across, Finzi's just fantastic melodies again, big tunes, and the various ones from the album, the Eclogue, is that the one you're going to play? Yeah, that's such a beautiful tune.
Eclogue was the middle movement of a piano concerto that he never sent to his publisher. So posthumously they discovered it, I don't know, in his attic, I think, with lots of music that was there. And so it's been published posthumously and as a piece for piano and strings. So we preserved the opening section, and then the middle bit is us. And we finish with Finzi.
Well, you see, you've got to keep it jazz, as we say. This is Eclogue. Thank you. Eclogue from the Avalon Trio and a piece by Gerald Finzi. And with me here in the studio is alto saxophonist Tony Woods and pianist Pete Churchill. Eclogue, beautiful.
It's an astonishing piece in its entirety, and it's a fantastic piece to improvise on. I think the challenge for us is to try and improvise out of the context of the music that we're playing rather than try to impose ourselves on the landscape.
You know?
I mean, it's a very organic thing, and it's ongoing. Mm. You have to fight all those extraneous influences that just, you know, can be habitual in improvising, and that's been a bit of a discipline.
Sure.
Really enjoyed that.
Yeah, well, there are so many references that one can move into.
Yeah.
But before we even get into that, while we were listening, you were talking, Pete, about aspects of beauty, especially in Finzi's writing.
Yeah, I think Finzi, quite typical of a lot of these composers, liked the order of counterpoint. They had notions of objective beauty,
mm-hmm.
where if it was like a watch, if it works, then it's beautiful.
Absolutely.
And that appeals to me a lot. But also, they tempered their search for beauty, the beauty of melodic line, with there was always a darkness, and that's a very important part of this music, because it's quite easy to dismiss it as that beautiful time in English music when all was lovely and pastoral, but it wasn't just about beauty, it was about longing.
Mm.
And we're talking about composers who knew about, who lived through the First World War, and when they're writing beautiful music and it's longing for a world that had disappeared.
Mm.
So although the landscape is beautiful, there are war graves.
Mm. Yeah,
and you suddenly find these dark corners in the music, and I think that gave us license to explore edginess within the context of this music. Mm.
You're using different instruments. You're using the soprano saxophone, and you're using wood flute.
Mm. Mm.
So tell us a bit about the wood flute. You use that on the title track on Fulana.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, well, it's an Indian flute actually, bamboo flute, and it just seemed to fit perfectly with the sound of the group, and there's a kind of folkiness about it, and the wood flute is a kind of a natural sort of folk kind of woody sound. Yeah.
I mean, what kind of percussion instruments is Rob using as well?
Well, he plays tablas.
He does play tablas.
Exactly.
Yeah. He plays
tablas on that. And I really love the I love the idea that the most English of composers, Gerald Finzi, is being played on an Indian wood flute, tablas, and I'm the only one who I should be playing
something harmonium.
Else. Yeah, probably. Yes.
In a funny way, Indian instrumentation is English too, because of the intertwined histories we have.
Well, I had a conversation that we had a gig in the Lowestoft.
Mm.
I had this fantastic conversation with a guy who mentioned that I think Gustav Holst was really into Indian music and set Sanskrit things, you know. And there's a whole Anglo-Indian tie-up. I mean, maybe that's another album.
Absolutely, that would be good.
Yeah, but it's good. You know, this is the beginning, I think, of a journey which is very interesting for us.
So the Avalon Trio sounds like a project that is really worthwhile, with a lot of material and a lot of ideas that will be born out of it. And we're looking forward to hearing that. And the album Fulana, it sounds beautiful. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go out on a piece that's by Delius. You use that to open up the record. I'd just like to say, Pete Churchill, Tony Woods, thank you so much for coming to speak to us.
A pleasure. Thank you very much.
We're going to hear Summer Night on the Water.
Thank you.
Summer Night on the Water from the Avalon Trio, and a piece by Frederick Delius. The Avalon Trio are Pete Churchill on piano, Tony Woods on alto saxophone, and Rob Millett on percussion. And my thanks to Tony and Pete for coming in to speak with me. The Avalon Trio album For Lana is out now on Marquetry Records, and if you wish to see them in concert, they've just come to the end of their UK tour, but they're playing on Wednesday the 15th of June at the Orange Tree Cellar Bar in Richmond, Surrey. They're also playing at the Bull's Head on Sunday the 24th of July, and that's a Sunday lunchtime concert. There are also a few other dates coming up later on in the year. On Thursday the 8th of September, they play Jags at the Station with a pre-concert lecture and masterclass. On Friday the 9th of September, they're in Derby at the Derby Jazz Club. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph, on FM, online and on DAB Digital Radio. Our next piece features the voice of 96-year-old bassist Coleridge Good, who I must congratulate on his recent accomplishment receiving the Services to Jazz Award at the Parliamentary Jazz Awards. Having studied electrical engineering by day at Glasgow University and played jazz in the city at night, he combined these two passions along the way to become one of the inventors and pioneers of bass amplification. The composition built around Coleridge Good's voice is the creation of British tenor man Dennis Baptiste in tribute and celebration. From his latest CD, Identity by Subtraction, this is Harriet's Chariot.
I was born in 1914. At that time, I never heard any jazz at all because my father was strictly a classical musician. He didn't consider jazz to be proper music. Rhythm, I think it's something you've actually got to feel. It's got to do something to you. The calypsos and all these various facets of music are all rhythmic. And if you've sort of grown up in that sort of atmosphere, well, your body gets used to responding to this kind of rhythm. It becomes a part of one. It's a driving force of jazz. When I heard Count Basie's bass player playing his bass parts, it was different from how other bass players at the time were doing. He used to be called a walking bass, where everybody else was playing in intervals and so on. His bass moved along in gradual steps, which is like Bach music. I thought, well, if I ever played jazz, that is the way I would like to play a bass line myself. As I said, we all had this background of a classical approach as well, from the point of view of playing jazz. And when you get to play together, you hear what the other musicians are doing, and you know how to make harmony from it. One had to have a good command of one's instrument. Put that sound you're hearing in your head on your instrument, transfer it immediately. Fortunately, we were able to do that. You can't play that sort of music unless you can do this. It's not possible, because it's got to be instant. We were just lucky that we sort of chose each other. I could hear from Sheikh Keen, for instance, when he played. It inspired me. I understood how he played. I had a feeling how he would go forward, or I was just able to respond in a suitable manner. It's a language, yes. Pat Smythe on piano. It was a joy to play with him, because he put chords in which meant something and did something. We were just able to play with each other freely and enjoyably. People people often play phrases that come almost automatically from them. It's something comes from vast experience, practice, and living it.
The tenor sax of Dennis Baptiste and Harriet's Chariot from his latest CD, Identity by Subtraction, featuring Andrew McCormack on piano, Gary Crosby on the bass and Rod Youngs on drums, all surrounding the illustrious voice of award-winning bassist and inspirational figure, Coleridge Good. Dennis Baptiste performs on the 15th of July at the Harrow Arts Centre on the Uxbridge Road in Harrow, and the album is out on the Dune record label. Now to our concert set, which was taken from the Steinway 2 Piano Festival, recorded at London's Pizza Express in Soho on the 14th of April this year. The festival ran over 4 nights, from April the 14th to the 17th, gathering an array of gifted pianists from the London and international scene. The list included Dave Newton, Kit Downs, Gwilym Simcock and Nicky Isles. Tonight's performance comes from an evening of music featuring 4 duos from the international scenes of Venezuela, Australia, Miami, Japan and Hungary. Our featured artists, Makoto Kuria and Peter Sharik, taking care of the last 2 countries on that list. When this concert was recorded, Peter and Makoto had just finished a European tour and were due to go to Japan, but the terrible consequences and tragedy of the tsunami meant that that was not possible, giving this performance a real poignant edge. The 2 pianists dedicate this concert to Japan. The first composition is by Peter Sharik, and you can hear him on the left channel with Makoto Kuria on the right. This is Romantic Bossa. Peter Sharrock and Makoto Kuria on Peter Sharrock's composition Romantic Bossa. You're listening to highlights of a concert set recorded as part of the Two Piano Festival at London's Pizza Express in Dean Street this year. Makoto is now in the left channel with Peter on the right, and it's a gentle piece and a real highlight in the duet performance. This is Sakura Garden.
Thank you.
Sakura Garden, composed by Makoto Kuriya, featuring Makoto on the left channel and Peter Sharrick on the right, from our concert set taken from the Steinway 2 Piano Festival, recorded at the Pizza Express in Soho, London. Trumpeter Quinton Collins and tenor man Brandon Allen have a new album out on the Sunlight Square record label. It's called What's It Gonna Be? The album features the two horn players with Italian drummer Enzo Zirilli and the heavyweight organ in the assured hands of Ross Stanley. This is a Quentin Collins ballad called Dark Shadows. Thank you. Dark Shadows from the Quentin Collins, Brand and Allen Quartet. The album is called What's It Gonna Be? And it's a strong post-bop, hard bop. I don't really want to put those labels on it, but it describes it. Full of energy and good ensemble playing and solos. Vocalist Natalie Williams, trombonist Trevor Myers, and the percussionist Ernesto Simpson make distinguished guest appearances. And What's It Gonna Be is out on the Sunlight Square Records label. And if you want to catch the guys live, Quentin plays at Twickenham Jazz Club on June the 16th with the John Turville Trio. Quentin's quartet play the Old Crown, 90 Highgate Hill, London, and that's on June the 13th as part of an ongoing Monday residency that Brandon is running. They also play at the Hastings Jazz Club on the 1st of August, the 606 Club in London on the 6th of August, and the Pizza Express Dean Street in London on the 24th of August. Well, that's nearly it from Jazz Lineup this week. Remember that there's plenty more jazz on BBC Radio 3 with Jazz on 3 on Monday nights at 11. This week, Jez Nelson presents The Missing Bits Show, featuring previously unbroadcast tracks from last year that didn't make it on the show the first time round. You'll be hearing the Craig Taborn Trio. You'll also be hearing Han Benink with Ray Anderson, Frank Mobus, Ernst Glerum, and Paul Van Kemenade. You'll also be hearing Darcy James Argue's Secret Society. To finish today's show, the music of Charles Mingus, as played by altoist Chris Bisco. Chris is featured on this track with the excellent drums of both Stu Butterfield and Paul Clarvis, with trumpet from Henry Lowther, who celebrates his 70th birthday this year. So listen out for a Jazz Lineup special over the coming months. So this is Chris Bisco's take on Mingus's overtly political protest against the Arkansas governor, Orville E. Forbus, who sent out the National Guard to prevent the integration of 9 African-American students into Little Rock Central High School. This is Fables of Forbus. Till next time, from me, Julian Joseph, bye-bye.
Hello, I'm John Shea with Music Through the Night on BBC Radio 3, and in the next couple of hours you can hear Mendelssohn's First Symphony and the Piano Quintet by the Dutchman Dirk Schaefer, composed at the turn of the 20th century. I'm starting, though, with a visit to the archives of Bulgarian radio for some recordings by the pianist Ljuba Encheva. The country's most prominent 20th century composer, Pancho Vladigerov, features alongside Schumann and Liszt, but she starts with Debussy. His Sweet Bergamask from 1890 evokes the 18th century world of Commedia dell'arte, popularised in France through the paintings of Watteau and Fragonard. The best-known movement from the suite takes its title from a Verlaine poem, Clair de Lune. A 1955 recording of Clair de Lune from Debussy's Suite Bergamasque. Lyuba Enchova continues with a 1965 recording of music by her fellow countryman Pancho Vladigerov. He was actually born in Zurich in 1899, but he spent his childhood in Bulgaria. He worked for Max Reinhardt at the Deutsches Theater in Berlin as a composer and conductor throughout the 1920s, before returning to Sofia to teach at the State Academy of Music for most of the rest of his life. Vladigerov composed this suite of five pieces in 1954. Thank you.
Thank you.
That suite of five pieces by Pancho Vladigerov consisted of a prelude, quasi-rhapsodico, etude, arietta, and a final rondino. Lyuba Encheva was the pianist. Schumann was one of the first musical poets to depict the fragile, mysterious world of childhood, which he did in his Kinderszenen in 1838. He told Clara that he'd composed 30 little pieces, and from them he selected 13 for these scenes from childhood, all expressing an adult's memory of childhood, or, as he said in a letter to Clara, a reflection of her comment that he sometimes seemed to her to be like a child himself.
Thank you.
Poet Speaks, the final piece from Schumann's Kinderszenen, Scenes from Childhood, reminiscences of a grown-up for grown-ups, as the composer described them. Completing this recital, another 1950s recording of Lyuba Enchevo. This is Liszt's Mephisto Waltz No. 1. Mephistopheles, alias the devil, lures Faust to a village inn and, with the help of some devilish fiddle playing, transforms an innocent peasant wedding into a mass orgy.